Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that conquered the grave. That's the line. Yeah. And so when we're thinking about worship, to worship is to ascribe worth to. That's what the word means. And that's a really helpful song and a really helpful thought for us to come to this psalm with today, Psalm 15. Now, if we'd said we're going to do a series for a few weeks, we're going to talk about ancient poetry, who'd come? Or suppose we said we're going to do the song book for 4 weeks, who'd come? Yeah, I knew you would. And see, here's the thing. The Psalms, the book of the Psalms, is both ancient poetry and song book. It's the song, it's the worship, it's the hymn book of the Hebrew people. But some of the Psalms are really difficult. Every human emotion is in the Psalms somewhere, I think. And it's a great discipline to pray the Psalms, to pray through the Psalms, to read the Psalms in a way that allows God to help us with our prayers. I don't know if you've ever tried doing that. That's something that I've tried to do, and if not necessarily choosing a psalm for a particular reason, but just trying to work through the emotions of what that psalmist is trying to say. We do use our song books that way, don't we? A number of you would use your Salvation Army song book as a personal devotional aid. I know that's true, because when we changed over about this time last year or a bit before, lots of you wanted one for personal use. So it's something in the tradition of the faithful people of God that allows us to immerse ourselves in what other people have written, other poetry, to try and understand something about how we express our emotions before God. And this Psalm 15, our psalm for today, is in lots of ways a song that might be used, or words that might be used, coming into worship. At first glance, it reads a bit like a checklist. Now, imagine that you parked your car in the car park, and in the time it took you to go from the gate to where you sit, you work through these words as your prayer for coming into worship. So in the time it takes you to get from the gate to here, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy mountain? Those whose way of life is blameless, who do what is righteous, who speak the truth from their hearts, who have no slander on their tongues, who do their neighbors no wrong, who cast no slur on others, who despise those whose ways are vile, but honor whoever fears the Lord, who keep their oaths even when it hurts, who lend money to the poor without interest, and do not accept bribes against the innocent. How many of you made it to church? How many of us would have just turned or stopped? You see, when we treat these things as a checklist for who is worthy to come into the presence of the King, it's a very short sermon. Who may dwell in your sanctuary, Lord? No one. No one. And if we could afford to throw these things away, that would be the mic drop right there. No one. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the one who conquered the grave. And you and I are not worthy. We're not worthy. None of us may come in. None of us have a walk that is blameless. If you do, well, God bless you. But I don't think that you do. And I know that I don't. None of us comes up to the standards of God's holiness. None of us is able to come in. No one is able to go into worship. And this idea, it's not just about coming to worship on a regular basis. It's about who can come into the presence of God. This idea of who can dwell in your sanctuary, the place of safety, the place where God is. Who is fit to live in God's good new world? Who is fit? Who is worthy? Who is worthy for that place with God? Not just now, but into all eternity. And the answer is simply no one. Except, maybe it isn't a checklist of the worthy. Maybe it's a promise of holiness possibility. Maybe it's about what we might become. And maybe, ultimately, and the Hebrew writer doesn't know about Jesus, but Jesus knows about this psalm. And maybe it's ultimately about who we are in him and what he makes possible for us. Maybe you're not feeling very encouraged at this point. Because if you don't think you were good enough, I'm just here to tell you that you're not. I love it when I go away for 2 weeks and come back and say something really encouraging to people. We're not good enough. None of us are. But you see, that's the great encouragement. That's the good news. Because we don't have to measure ourselves up against other people. Because no one is coming up to God's standard on their own. No one at all. So it doesn't matter whether you look at this person and say, I wish I could be as spiritual as them. Doesn't matter. They're not good enough either. It doesn't matter if you look at someone and say, I wish I had the prayer life they've got. Doesn't matter. They're not good enough either. It doesn't matter if you look at someone else that you see as a giant of faith amidst great trying circumstances. You can have those heroes of faith, and we should, but it doesn't matter if you measure yourself up against them because they aren't good enough either. It doesn't matter how high the scale is. On our own, no one qualifies. So it's a great leveler for us because we're all equal before God, and the only standard that matters is the one that he sets. We don't need to have some kind of measure system or merit system to see who's in and who's out. And this is good news for us, because it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. If you and I acknowledge our need of God, then these are the things, these are the qualities he makes possible for us. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 5, and we call it the Beatitudes. And he said this, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And to people who sometimes look at these words, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live in your holy mountain, Jesus reminds us that actually at the moment when we recognize that we are spiritually impoverished, we are spiritually poor and we fall upon his mercy. When we mourn for our own lost condition, for the mess we make of so many things, when we mourn over our sins in a genuine act of repentance, a desire to turn our lives around, when we humble ourselves before him, recognizing that on our own we have nothing of worth to bring, then that's the moment. When we realize that actually all things are ours and we inherit the whole earth. The kingdom of heaven is yours when you realize that you can't belong in it. That's the paradox of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is yours the moment you realize that you are so spiritually impoverished that you cannot be in it. Because you can by putting your faith in Christ. I think that's good news. You and I can belong when we put our faith in Christ. So Resurrection Sunday, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and Resurrection is about new beginnings and new possibilities, and this isn't so much a checklist of who qualifies, it's a holiness possibility agenda that says these things can be yours when you put your trust in God, when you realize that on your own you cannot do it, on your own you are not enough, on your own the greatest spiritual hero you have is not enough, but in Him, through Him, by Him, and in trust with Him, it's all yours. And now you can dwell in His sanctuary, not because of your righteousness, but because of His. Not because your walk is blameless, but because His is, and He walks it for you. These qualities are about our conduct before people as well as our conduct before God. When we look through this list in Psalm 15 about being people who speak the truth, who have no slander, who don't do our neighbours wrong, who stand up for those who are facing injustice, and there's no shortage of that in the world today, who keep their promises, who don't take advantage of people, these are kingdom values. Jesus spoke about those kingdom values. The Beatitudes went on and he said this, Matthew 5:6, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. These are the characteristics God requires. These are elements of the standards, but these are characteristics we can only develop through a living relationship through Jesus, with Jesus, taking life with Jesus seriously, because He takes life with you seriously. He takes life with you seriously enough to die for you and for me. And were I the only person in the whole of human history that needed Him to do that for me, He would still have done it. And the same is true for you. Because He knows that none of us can meet the standard. And so He meets the standard for us and invites us to walk it with Him. So now we can all belong. We can all come into His presence. We can all approach His holiness because His holy standards are achieved for us through faith in Christ. Fruits of the Spirit. Characteristics that take time to grow, but they're fruits of the Spirit that the Spirit plants, tends, prunes sometimes, nurtures, and ultimately harvests. It's about Him, it's not about you. It's about Him, it's not about me. And at the end of Psalm 15, the psalmist says, whoever does these things will never be shaken. Well, the other translation says, would never be moved. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have problems in your life. You don't need me to say that, because everyone here has got some issue in their life. We have all of us lived through moments of life that have been shaking, that have changed how we see the world, have shattered our foundations sometimes. And yet here's a promise through the psalmist in Psalm 15, whoever does these things, whoever takes the qualities of the kingdom seriously would never be shaken, would never be moved. But what that's really saying is, whatever happens in life, your place, if you trust God for your salvation, if you trust in Jesus, if you're walking the life with Jesus, whatever happens in your life, nothing will take your place away from you. Only you can do that. Jesus has gone and He's prepared a place for us, and it's a place that we can enjoy now as well as in eternity. And only you can take hold of it, and only you can walk away from it. No circumstance in your life will take away your place in the kingdom. Nothing that happens to you will change that. You do not have to be shaken. You do not have to be moved. When we trust God for our righteousness, when we trust Him to make it possible for us to come into His presence, then nothing and no one can take that from you. There's a promise of homecoming here. The one who trusts will not be moved, not be shaken. So look through the psalm again. But this time, not as a checklist as to who qualifies, because it won't get you very far, but as a possibility of what might be achievable when we trust Jesus for our entrance. When we come to worship with that sense of his worth and not ours, but our worth is seen through him, because he looks at you and he looks at me as people of infinite and unique worth. See, there's all sorts of paradoxes in the gospel. You and I are not good enough on our own. But he sees something. He sees something that's worth dying for. He sees possibility in you and me. He sees potential in us. And he looks at this community of faith that we represent, and he sees potential and possibility in us corporately as well as individually. He sees what a force we could be for good in our community. He sees what a difference we can make in the lives of people who are struggling. He sees what a difference we could make right here where we are. And he looks at the places where you go, where you spend your week, and he can see the potential and the possibility of kingdom life that you can sow into those places. When we recognize that only in him do we have that worth, that we can be good enough when we trust him, that he can make that fruit grow in us. And that promise of homecoming that can be yours today. You see, it's not just about visiting God once a week in church. And we'd like you to do that, don't get me wrong. But it's not just about that. It's about taking the Jesus life in every aspect of life. Every place, every conversation, every moment in private and in public, done for his glory. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the one who conquered the grave. Worthy. His worth, and in his worth is mine, and in his worth is yours. It's no coincidence that Jesus completes the teaching of the Beatitudes with a very similar promise. God blesses you, verse 11, when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So today I do want to encourage you. I want to encourage us all. I want us to encourage us all to recognize that we have a place in God's house. We have a place in God's kingdom. We have that place available today, and we have it for all of eternity. Eternal life begins this side of heaven. You get that, don't you? So don't fall into the enemy's trap of trying to earn your place, because you never will. Don't fall for the kind of joyless legalism that reduces the life of holiness to a checklist of who's in and who's out. Don't settle for the cheap grace that fails to take God at his word. He has a place for you, and he wants you to trust him to make you worthy of it. I couldn't get away from one line in the Junior Soldier's Promise as I was preparing this for today. I think the Junior Soldier's Promise probably captures some of our best theology. Simply yet profoundly this: because Jesus is my Savior from sin, I will trust him to keep me good. Trusting him to keep us good, trusting him to hold us, trusting him to make us worthy, because in him all are welcome. So we come back to our question: Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? On our own? None of us. In Christ, any one of us. In Christ, any one of us. Do not go home today without making sure that your place is secure and immovable. The Lord bless you.